all agree that the last 18 months or so has turned our world upside down, especially for those of us living in KZN, where since March last year, we haven't just dealt with COVID and the first and the second wave and now potentially even the fourth wave. But for most of us, the freedoms of our everyday life has been completely disrupted. Those walks on the promenade, watching live sports games, even going to the Barnyard Theatre for a concert, or just watching our children play sports and actually sitting in the stands and not trying to peek through the gate somehow. For those of us living in KZN, you would agree that a couple of weeks ago, COVID was the last thing we were worried about. And that's our hope and prayer that today, that this text would speak into our current context, where Christians, men and women who have placed their lives into the hands of Almighty God, may this text better equip us for anything that this world will throw at us ever again. And so please, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're going to read chapter 16 together from verse 16 onwards. And as you turn your Bibles, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that your word would speak to us powerfully today. You are fully aware of every single person sitting in this room today and those watching online. You know what we've gone through in the last 18 months. So we ask, Lord, speak to us. Give us hope for the future. Reveal your faithfulness to us once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Now, when I read through this portion, and you can leave your Bibles open because we're going to refer back to the text quite often. When I read through this portion of Scripture in the week, I kept trying to focus on Paul and Silas and how they responded to being thrown into prison. But the more I focused on them, the more God drew me back to the slave girl again and again and again. And eventually, I became indignant and said, "Lord, what is it about this slave girl that you're trying to teach me?" And eventually, the penny dropped for me. God's been trying to tell me all along, but eventually it dawned on me that this young lady has been held captive in the type of human trafficking that was very common in Paul's era. And I would argue that it's still very evident to this day, where people are enslaved and exploited to bring riches to others. Indulge me for a moment. Paul and Silas were on their way to the place of prayer. They were on their way to church. And as they walked through the main church gates, there they find this woman, enslaved by the Spirit, but also enslaved by her owners and exploited. They find her crying out. Now, in Paul and Silas's biblical worldview, fortune-telling is evil. And what I find interesting, and we've seen it many a times in the life of Christ, when anything evil in this world encounters the godly, it simply cannot remain silent. We can see this in verse 18. The evil spirit inside her shouts out, "These are men of God. They're going to show you the way to be saved." When we study the Gospels, every time an evil spirit encountered Jesus Christ, what did it do? It told everybody that this is the Son of God. Evil simply cannot remain silent in the presence of the godly. But what's interesting from verse 18, and if we look at the original translation actually states that Paul became deeply grieved. Not just annoyed, but deeply grieved when he looked at this young lady. And therefore he responded, "In the name of Jesus, come out. Leave her alone. Set her free." In that moment, I believe that Paul just had enough of what he was seeing and what was happening to this young girl, where she was enslaved by this evil spirit and exploited by her owners. When Paul and Silas realized this, they were deeply moved, and in so doing, by the power of God, set her free. It's as if this young lady knew that these two men would help her gain the freedom of life in Christ again. Deep down inside, she longed for the kind of life that they were living. And maybe it took Paul and Silas a while to realize that God was calling them to do something about it. And when God pulled at their hearts, they couldn't ignore it anymore. And here we must just pause in the text for a while and just come to the uncomfortable realization that this is still happening today. This is not unique to Paul and Silas. To this very day, men, thousands upon thousands of men, women, and children are enslaved in our modern day context and exploited and used to build kingdoms in this world. And maybe right now, the Lord is nudging at your heart to do something about it. To hear the cries of thousands upon thousands of men, women, and children enslaved. Maybe right now God is saying, "Hey, I want you to do something about it." And there are many ways to do so, and you can chat to Duncan and I afterwards if you feel the Lord's calling in that sense. See, their captivity in today's context could be very subtle, but it could be right in our faces. Paul and Silas did not ignore this lady's plea for help. Yes, they needed some encouragement from the Lord. It took a few days for them to come to the realization that God is calling them to do something incredible in her life. And so maybe God is calling you right now in the same way. But it comes with a bit of a warning, friends, that Paul and Silas didn't jump in to this ill-prepared. They didn't take on the evil in their generation and in their world ill-prepared. They were extremely well prepared for this. They knew exactly what could happen to them if they took on the evil forces in their generation. They could be whipped. They could be stoned. They could be jailed. They could even be killed for standing up against the evil. Verse 19 onwards even paints the picture for us very clearly of what happened. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing the city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to even accept or practice." Now, I can just see this happening on TV right now in a really nice crime drama where the good cops have gone into this dark, dingy building in town, and they've taken one of the children out of a child trafficking ring, set her free, only to find themselves in court the next day, being sued for doing so illegally. And then the owners of the child trafficking ring even rent a crowd to make sure, in verse 22, they joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and then the magistrates ordered them stripped and beaten. Verse 23, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. You can see that happening even to this day, where the good go up against evil, and the evil do everything in their power to stop it, to make sure that it never happens again. Paul and Silas were beaten and jailed for the fight against the evil forces in their world. But I'm amazed at their response through this. I'm amazed because I know how much more I need to grow in this regard. And I say this because Paul and Silas conducted themselves in a godly manner through it all. When they were fighting the good fight and set this young lady free, I'm sure they knew about the consequences that would come. But they never lost their Christian witness, even in the injustice of their flogging and their imprisonment. Why did Paul and Silas do what they did to free this young lady if they knew that they would potentially die in order to make it happen? Verse 25 answers that question for us. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What this verse tells me is this: Paul and Silas had such an incredible relationship with God, so intimate, that even though Paul, as a Roman citizen, could pull that card right in the beginning and say, "I'm a Roman. You can't flog me, beat me, and just jail me for no reason." He could have done that. He could have defended himself against the malice and persecution that he was facing. But instead of doing that, Paul and Silas maintained their Christian witness by practicing what they preached. They turned the other cheek. They suffered honorably for the sake of the gospel. I think the main reason they were able to do this was because of their intimate relationship with Christ, and that they had come to fully understand what Matthew 5 actually means. Verse 11 and 12 reads as follows: "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way that they persecuted the prophets before you." Paul and Silas, their relationship with God must have been of such intimate value that they realized that there was something bigger going on. That yes, when God called them to set this young lady free, they responded. They did exactly what God called them to do, but they never lost their Christian witness along the way, because they knew that God was at work in this young lady's life. God will be at work in their flogging and imprisonment. And at that moment, they might not have realized it, but their faith was that strong. Their relationship was that strong that they took the beating honorably. They even consider it an honor to be beaten for the sake of Christ. And we read that later on in the letters in the New Testament. Oh Lord, help us grow to this point in our lives. Help me grow to that point in my life where whenever I see injustice, or whenever injustice is done to me, that my response would be that of Paul and Silas, where I pray and I worship the Lord. I don't defend myself, because I know that the Lord is at work. And verse 26 just puts that as boldly as possible. Paul and Silas were faithful to the Lord. And so in verse 26, God vindicates them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. This is incredibly important for us to see today. Regardless of who you are and who's listening online, no amount of evil could ever stop the furtherance of the good news of Jesus Christ. No amount of evil could ever stop God from working. The cross of Jesus Christ proves it, and this text echoes it today. O instigators of evil, owners of slave girls, then and today, hear this. No amount of evil will ever stop the work of God. You can lock up every single Christian in this world. God will still work, no matter what. And hear that today, evil people. Hear it today. Your evil works will not overpower God. You underestimate God then, you underestimate Him today. Guess what? It won't work. Goodness will prevail. God will win. He's won the battle on the cross, and He will win the battle today. Hear this, you evil people. Hear it. The God that we serve is far more powerful than what you are. He will prevail. He will. When you're sitting in your home and you fear the evil in this world, know this today. Our God will prevail. And hopefully you and I are that close to Him that when they come and kill us, they see Jesus. He uses our death and our suffering to bring another person to salvation. Look at the text today, friends. Paul and Silas are in jail. They're enslaved. God vindicates them there. He uses that evil and their suffering to bring another person, and not just one, but their entire household to the Lord. You can come with your evil acts, but God will use that suffering and that evil to bring glory to His name. He will bring another person to salvation, regardless of what's going on. Come on. Is there anybody out there? So hear this today. If you're that slave girl, if you feel that you've been enslaved for many, many years, and you need to be set free, whether that is physical, emotional, or intellectual slavery, come to the Lord today, just like she did. Cry out to Him, set me free. And for some of us, it might be instant. It might happen just like it happened with her. In a couple of days, boom, done. Or it'll take some time. And so the invitation for you is, speak to Duncan and I, just like she did when she reached out to Paul and Silas. And let us come alongside you on your path to deliverance, so that you can live in the freedom that is only found in Christ. Maybe you're sitting here today, or you're watching online, you've been set free. You understand what it means to live in the freedom that Christ gives. But you're struggling with this idea of rejoicing in your suffering. Because over the last 18 months, your joy has been beaten out of you. You're not so sure about all of this anymore. May you be encouraged too to come to the Lord and say, please, Lord, break me free from the shackles of despair. Notice in the text that the Lord broke free other people in the prison that day. Maybe you're in the cell of despair or hopelessness. Allow the Lord to come into that moment too and break you free. But maybe this text speaks to some of us too, where we are free, completely liberated. But we've just been coasting along in terms of our spiritual growth. We've been ignoring the slave girls in this world for far too long. May you hear the call on your life today by the Lord saying, let's grow a bit in our relationship here. I would like to use you to set more people free. But know that in that journey, there might come pain and suffering. There might come persecution and insults along the way. So let us grow in our relationship with God to such an extent where we consider those things an honor and a joy for the sake of the gospel. Maybe you are close to the Lord today. May you be used by the Lord to bring more people to salvation, regardless of where you are. Regardless of life is good or whether you're suffering. May you be used by the Lord just like He did in this text today to set many people free and bring salvation to many, many more households. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. This is life and that today that work can be a testimony to all of us that you are still working, that you are still faithful, and that you will do it again and again and again. And that regardless of the evil in this world, your goodness will always prevail. You'll work all things to the good for those who love you, and you will work all things to your glory. We ask that you would use us to do so. And Lord, we also pray for those who are enslaved, who feel that they've been locked away in a deep, dark cell for many, many years, and they've been crying out to you for help. We ask, Lord, by your powerful name, by your powerful hand, that you would come to them right now. Remind them of your love and presence and set them free. And enable them to live in liberty and freedom that's only found in Jesus Christ. We also want to pray for those who have lost hope and who feel completely battered by the things of this world. Oh Lord, come alongside of us again and strengthen us and encourage us by your word. Set us free from the shackles that hold us back of experiencing an incredible relationship with you again. And then for those of us who have journeyed through it all, empower us, Lord, to set others free, to be your hands and feet, as you ensure that the good news about Jesus Christ reaches the far corners of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.